Mini episode 407 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by First Down Scouting, delivering the most thorough scouting service available, uncovering the NFL stars of tomorrow. Follow them on the web at the number 1stdownscouting.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Welcome to mini episode number 407 of the FDH Lounge. This is FDH managing partner Rick Morris here with the FDH Lounge preview of Mad Men episode 7.2, which is called A Day's Work. This season, we'll be listing the top five themes of the previous week's episode to examine how they're driving the characters into the end game of the series. We did not attempt a preview for the first episode of this season because it would have been impossible with Matthew Weiner's complete blackout on any details contained within it. Here's the top five themes from episode 7.1 moving into this week. Number 5, Ken is the new Pete. Any notion that the show had a quota of at least one uncomplicated nice guy was smothered when it became apparent that the head of accounts title was affecting Ken just as it had Pete. Granted, Ken was under a lot of stress and still suffering the effects of his eye injury, but the extent of his surly attitude was depressing, even while it did open up interesting paths for him in subsequent episodes. Number 4. Unlikely men of their times. Although men of markedly different generations, as the first season indicated thoroughly, both Roger and Pete seem to be the main characters who would be the most at sea once the culture of the 60s truly arrived. And yet, both, in their own ways, have adapted more smoothly than most. Granted, Roger is burying his ongoing existential despair in his orgy life at home, but he is very much in tune with the times, and Pete has taken to California with a swinging groove that could not have been forecast in earlier seasons. Might these two disparate misfits be the ones to help everyone else understand the tenor of the times? Stranger things have happened, but not many. Number 3, Coastal Contrast. The very title of the episode, Time Zones, promised a contrast between the two halves of the cast, now cleaved into West Coast and East Coast factions. With New York City about to enter its worst years, and the promise of California illuminating America circa 1969, Mad Men is indicating that the latter appears to represent the future that is coming. But remember that the Manson murders and Altamont plagued the Golden State in the final year of the 60s. Whether or not these moments cast a shadow on this program, it will probably factor into what should be a season-long look at where these two quintessentially American cities led us into the hangover decade of the 1970s. Number 2, ventriloquism. Whether it was Don using Freddie Rumson for a sock puppet or that delightful college professor feeding info to Joan, verbal misdirection was the motif of the episode. Does this imply any kind of pattern going forward? Freddie warned Don that his reputation will suffer if he's content to work in the shadows and be perceived as out of the game. There's already speculation online that Peggy will suffer in some way when it gets exposed that she's peddling work that was secretly hatched by Don. That would be a juicy storyline, but alas, the program rarely moves in as transparent a direction as that. In all likelihood, though, we haven't seen the last of this theme this season. Number 1, despair. Both Don and Peggy, the male and female leads of the series, were at low points that were almost historic levels for their characters. Don continued to bathe in the guilt of last season's sexual indiscretions and how they created figurative distance that dwarfed the geographic in his marriage. At the same time, driven by immense pride, he deceived Megan about his layoff from work and likewise tried to keep up appearances with others. As for Peggy, property that she owns in a bad area, the bitter legacy of her relationship with Abe the Commie, created demands on her that decimated her defenses in the face of ingratitude from her new boss. And her unexpected encounter with Ted couldn't have done much for her spirits either. Other characters, such as Megan and Jim Cutler, battled the blues themselves to various degrees. Some programs, such as Breaking Bad and The Shield, are fated to end poorly for the main characters. This one isn't, necessarily, but that's the direction that we're headed, one episode into the two-part final season. Thank you for tuning in to this mini-episode of the FDH Lounge.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.